First Thessalonians tonight, chapter number 4. This is a very, very familiar passage of Scripture. As far as I can tell, in the economy of our Lord, the next major event on the calendar of time is the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ for the church. For those not that just have a title or belong to some organization, but for those that have been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, for those who have been born again, for those who are the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read some scripture tonight. It's familiar. I fear sometimes we let some scripture get too familiar. I found in my own heart and life since 1987 when I trusted Jesus to be my Savior that there's times when something's familiar and it just don't stir me like it used to. But then God will do a work in my heart and I can read John 3:16 again and it's different now. Amen. John 3:16 ought to stir us tonight. Amen. It ought to be more than a sign to hold up at a ball game. For God so loved the world that He loved you. He loved me. He loved Lane. And He wants to make a difference in lives tonight. The Bible said in verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, "But I would not have you to be ignorant." The next word is brethren. You would think maybe when you're talking about someone being ignorant, it would be maybe an unbeliever. But Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica. No doubt already some of these people have lost loved ones. And he's trying to explain to them, I don't want you to be ignorant about this thing. I want you to know something. This is not using the term ignorant in a bad way. It's just they don't know. I don't want you to be in a place where you don't know. You could go in a lot of places today and ask people, what happens when you die? A lot of people don't know. They're just ignorant of what happens. Some would even teach false doctrine. They would teach that you're annihilated, you're gone, it's over. That's not taught in the Word of God. The Bible said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Another way of saying that, those that have died. He said, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then the word of God said, wherefore comfort one another with these words. I will say this tonight. In verse number 14, the Bible uses the word if. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Beloved, that's a big word right there. Do you remember that the two thieves, one time both were railing on Jesus, if thou be the Christ, come down and get us down. And then in the midst of that crucifixion, one of those thieves changed his mind. And his if turned into Lord. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And that man at that moment in time became a believer. Just as saved as you are. Just as saved as I am. And beloved, he didn't get to do a work for the Lord. But he had an opportunity to trust the Lord. And he got in. He got in late, but he didn't wait too late. Amen. Pray with me a moment. Father, I thank you tonight for the scripture. I thank you, Lord, that you are coming again. Lord, we don't know when, but we know you're coming. You've promised in your word. You said, I'll go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Lord, I pray tonight that you'll take the message. Help us, Lord, tonight to be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Watch this now tonight. The Bible said, wherefore comfort one another with these words. If you're on the right side of that if, the coming of Jesus brings comfort to your heart. John, the beloved disciple, when he writes to the Revelation in chapter number 1, he sees the glorified Christ. He falls at his feet as dead. In chapter number 2 and chapter number 3, John sees the church age. And then in chapter number 4, the Bible said, come up hither. That's what's being described in our text before us. And then after chapter number 5, where you see the 24 elders gathered around the throne, you see in chapter number 6, on up to chapter number 19, the great tribulation that's coming upon the earth. And we're going to get to chapter 19 in a little while, which is the marriage of the Lamb. That's still out there in the future, in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then you see, beloved, listen, the judgment of the nations. And you see the great white throne judgment, where the lost and the sinners are judged by God and cast into an eternal, everlasting lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone. And then you see the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven like a bride adorned for her husband. Then you see the city, amen, that holy city. The Lamb of God is the light of that city. You don't need electricity. You don't need any oil in the lamp, amen, because God's Son lights that city. And beloved, you see that river, that pure crystal river running and proceeding from the throne of God. John saw all of that. And what I want to say to you tonight is this. After seeing all of that, you get into chapter number 22, and this is what he says. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. I'm glad, thank God, when he comes. I'll never sit with another family whose heart's broken. I'll never stand in another hospital room, amen. I'll never be on the third floor in Wilcox Hall again, Brother Brian, watching people's bodies dry up and shrivel up, amen. I thank God tonight, beloved, that the coming of Jesus, it's right there, it's right in front of us, and we ought to celebrate it, and we ought to get ready, say amen, and we ought to be anticipating, amen, the coming of our Lord. Listen tonight, if we believe. You say, Pastor, what are you going to say about the passage? Simply this. This scripture tonight, it should comfort one group of people, but it should convict another group of people. Honey, if you don't know for sure tonight that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, as sure as I'm standing in front of you tonight, Jesus is coming. And when he comes, beloved, it's going to be too late to do anything about it, amen. That's why what we do, we need to do now, amen. We need to work while it's day. There's a night coming when no man can work. The Word of God is teaching us here that Jesus is coming. That's the next thing I see in the ministry of our Lord. I had a dream. I've told you about it, and some of you haven't heard. I'd give anything to have the dream again. I don't put a lot of stock in dreams, but I tell you, in this dream, beloved, if it lines up with the Bible, I'm okay with it. Amen. If it don't line up with the Bible, blame it on the beans. Amen. But if it lines up with the Bible, I'm okay with it. There was Jesus. All I remember was a mountain range. I'm looking at it sideways like this, and he was ascended above the mountain, just suspended there. Oh, and you say, well, preacher, what did he look like? There was just a glow. It was so bright. You could just tell it was him. It was just a glow. And I was ascending. I had left this earth and was going up I remember a couple of things. Number one, the peace. I mean, you pull the rug out from under somebody and they ain't got nothing to stand on. Usually somebody's tore all to pieces. Amen. Brother Rick, I reminded of that ladder you said you slipped on there before Christmas. Amen. The fall don't hurt. That sudden stop, it'll kill you, won't it? At the bottom, amen. But there was none of that fear. I was just going up. I remember that well. I remember the peace. Then I remember this. I wanted to look to my left. And I wanted to look to my right. I wanted to see if Brian and Paula was over there. Amen. I wanted to see if Eddie and Donna was over there. Brother Eddie, I wanted to see. Because I thought, this is it. Glory to God. This is it. But I couldn't turn. I could not take my eyes off of him. And I woke up. Oh, my goodness, beloved. Listen, it was wonderful. Listen. Let me tell you something. The real thing is going to be 10,000 times 10,000 better than that. And I can't imagine it tonight. But he's coming, beloved. He's coming for the redeemed. He's coming for his church. You say, Pastor, he's not come yet. They've been talking about that for a long time. Well, look with me, if you will, in the book of Peter. Notice this now. The Bible said in Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Let me say this. The doctrine of Christ ought to stir us up. Amen. What he's done, what he's doing, what he's going to do, that ought to stir us up. Amen. The Bible said that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken by the holy prophets and the commandments of the apostles of our Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. Watch this. What are they doing? They're saying in verse number 4, where is the promise of his coming? Let me just give you a little hint. Brother Vincent's right there. Over and over and over, this book tells us Jesus is coming. Amen. Everything God's ever said in this book, it either has already taken place or, mark it down, it will take place. Amen. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Watch verse 5. I told you, beloved, comfort or conviction. For this, the Bible said, they willingly are ignorant of. Beloved, listen, I can't watch the news nowadays without having to wonder in my heart about the people in this country that are willingly ignorant of the truth. A young lady not too long ago won a lawsuit. She won $2 million in a lawsuit because they told her parents that she was going to commit suicide if she didn't have her breast chopped off. I'm telling you, there's a bunch of people in this country that are willingly ignorant. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, my grandpa used to make a statement, the dog's got better sense than that. Amen. We are in trouble. Amen. When people are willingly ignorant of the truth. And the Bible said that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, the earth standing out of water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire. God put a rainbow in the sky. He was saying it'll never happen this way again. The world's never going to be flooded with water like that again as it was in the days of Noah. Not water this time. It's a fire. Amen. The Bible said the earth will melt with fervent heat. By the same word, they're kept in store, reserved unto fire against the judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, here's this word again. Be not ignorant of this one thing. Here's what Peter's telling them. Y'all listen, you're scoffing. You're saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, here's what Peter's telling. I'm going to just give it to you in some language you can understand. He ain't been gone but a couple of days. The Bible said, for one day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Peter said, you better wake up. He's just been gone a couple of days. He's coming back. Just like he said he was. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. Peter's talking about these people that are willingly ignorant. And yet, it's not God's will that they should perish, but that all men should come to repentance. I'm glad I serve a God like that, ain't you? I'm glad when I was in the prisons those 10 years talking to the worst of the worst, I didn't have to stand there and wonder if God wanted to save them. I didn't have to stand there and wonder if God loved them. The same God that loved me loved them. And I'm telling you, beloved, it's not his will that any should perish. Go back with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I've got 9 things on this part of the doctrine of Christ. We're still on the first one. And we'll get to the 9th one about midnight. I don't think the snow's coming anytime soon. I'm just kidding you all. I love him tonight. I'm so glad he's coming, aren't you? I'm so glad I'm in that number. It's by the grace of God. I love that song the young'uns sing, keep coming back to the well. You know what I thought about? I leaned over and whispered, I think, to Brother Jason, but it don't matter how many times you go to the well, it's never diminished. The next time you go, it's still full of grace. Amen. Ain't that good? Amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Paul tells the church at Corinth, behold, I show you a mystery. See, the churches didn't always know these things. And by the way, beloved, we need to thank God for the Apostle Paul. Amen. And for how God used him to pen down Scripture, help the church understand. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. You say, Pastor, what's that talking about? Well, I told you that sleep there means they've died. They've died. We don't believe in soul sleep. I'll tell you why. Because the Bible said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And we also know that the rich man, when he died, he wasn't annihilated. He was tormented. Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom. We know that. Amen. God gives us things in the Word of God to teach us, amen, the truth. And the Bible said we're not all going to sleep. What's that mean? I'm just going to go ahead and say this tonight. I know it'll go out, but I know she wouldn't care. Sister Carol told me not too long ago when Brother Wayne was real sick, she said, I have believed ever since I was a little girl that I would be alive when Jesus comes. I looked at her and I said, I hope that's right. Amen. We're not too far apart in age. Amen. That means I got a pretty good chance. Amen. I said, I hope that's exactly. She said, I've believed ever since I was a little girl I'd be alive when Jesus comes. That'd be all right with me, wouldn't it, you? That's what this is talking about right here. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We're not all going to die. Some of us are going to be alive. But it'd be all right with me if he come in prayer meeting, wouldn't it, you? My soul, youngins, I'm telling you, he's coming. He's coming. Some of us may be alive when he comes. I'll tell you tonight, it's going to be wonderful. That scripture I read a while ago, the Bible said that the dead in Christ will rise first. And you say, Pastor, I don't understand why God made a difference there. Well, God is such a God. He just wants us all to get even and then all to go together. See, they some in the bottom of the sea. You understand where I'm coming from tonight? But God's going to get us all even and then all together we're going to be with Jesus. I think it's wonderful, don't you? It's wonderful. Watch this now. The Bible said in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. In other words, we ain't going like this. We're going to have a body like unto the Son of God. We're going to be changed. I just want to say something right there. Let me word this kindly. Them idiots that's blowing them whistles, we'll still hear the trumpet over them whistles. Y'all get that after a while. Say amen. They're trying to drive people crazy with their sound and their loud sound. Wait till he sounds off. Amen. What a blessing. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Reminds me of another scripture. The Bible said the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. I'll have a funeral here in a few days. And God's already settled in my heart. I'm going to try my best to make the gospel so plain. And let folks know, beloved, listen, the reason that we suffer, the reason that we die, it ain't God's fault. Say amen. It's because of the curse of sin that we live under. Amen. And the Bible said, so when death is swallowed up in victory, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. I love verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. No one here tonight won that victory on your own. It was God that gave us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then God leaves us with this tonight concerning Jesus and Him coming. He said, therefore, because all of this is true, Paul, he says, my beloved brethren, how many saved tonight? And you know it, amen. Amen. If He comes, you're all right. You're going up, amen. Not looking at each other, looking at Him, amen. Listen to me tonight. He said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. How many of y'all been saved more than 10 years? Raise your hand. That's me. 20? Raise your hand. All right. 30 years. More than 30 years? Raise your hand. More than 40 years? Raise your hand. More than 50 years? Raise your hand. More than 60 years? Raise your hand. Been saved more than 60 years. There's one right there. Amen. Sister Sharon, right over here. Brother Gary and Miss Barbara. Let me say this tonight. It don't matter if it's 60 years or if it's 10 years. Every one of us can go back to a place in our life when we were not steadfast. Would somebody help me right there? We were not steadfast. We didn't have our hand on the plow and have our eyes on the prize and going forward for the glory of God. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. We're encouraged with the coming of Christ in mind to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. How many's had that devil to jump up on your shoulder? I tell you, you're wasting your breath. You're wasting your time. We have to make up our mind. Are we going to believe a liar? Or are we going to believe the one that never lied? The one the Bible said cannot lie. Amen. We need to believe the truth. And the truth is, our labor is not in vain in the Lord. I'll guarantee you, listen, these that work with the children, Sunday, Wednesday, I guarantee you there's high times when you can't wait. But how many understand there's low times? When the old enemy shows his head. And listen, you and I, we really ought to be encouraging these folks that work with our children, that teach our children in Sunday school, that pick up our children, amen, on the van. We ought to be encouraging them. Why? Because God said their labor is not in vain in the Lord. I know you've heard me say this before, but I'm going to say it again. When folks say the children of the church of tomorrow, I always correct them. Go through Kingsport. You'll find out what I'm talking about. Beloved, if they're not the church today, there'll be no church tomorrow. And there's a lot of churches where if I was to walk in it tonight, I'd be the youngest person there because they have dropped the ball. Amen. I will say this tonight. Their children are no important than the seniors. No more important than the seniors. But the seniors are no more important than the children. And if you're stuck in the middle, you're no more important than anybody else. No one else is more important than you. I thank God tonight for what's going on over yonder with their teens. What's going on over yonder with their children. Don't you tonight? Just be steadfast. Amen. Preachers, be steadfast. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know. I tell you, I get these dry spells. And some people wouldn't understand what I'm about to say. But I'm going to say it anyway. Brother Vince, you have the privilege once in a while to lead somebody to Jesus. And this is what I say. I needed that as bad as they did. You want to see God do something. Amen. But let me tell you something. Noah was steadfast. But Brother Jason, he didn't see God doing a whole lot. 8 souls got on the boat. Him and his wife and his 3 boys and their wives. That ain't much to show for 120 years, is it? But Noah found grace. You know what I believe? I believe he got discouraged along the way. He's human. Surely y'all know that. You know what he done? He said, there's a well of grace over there. I think I'll go back there and get me another drink. Amen. Work on his boat a little more. Amen. He's coming. He's coming. The doctrine of Christ. His future ministry. He's coming. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to seeing him. As he is. You close your eyes and you try to imagine. I can't go through it all, but John said his hair was white as wool. His eyes were a flame of fire. And his feet were like fine brass. You wonder what it's going to be like. I just wanted you to know this. These eyes can't stand it. We'll have some glorified eyeballs. And we'll be able to look on him that loved us and gave himself for us. Amen. How many's glad you come tonight?